In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. There is a sense of desperation whenever we come to a crossroads. We just don't know what to do. I'm a fan of comedy, and I recall Chris Rock giving the following scenario. There was a slave who, unbeknownst to anybody, had learned how to read and write English. And this, of course, was an offense that was punishable by death, to have taught a slave or to be a slave who could read and write English. So here the slave was going to town with his master's goods in a wagon, and the town had, without the slave knowing, because he spent his life on the day of the plantation, installed a stop sign. Now, when he came to the crossroads, the intersection, the sign said stop. And he thought to himself, if I stop, they're going to say, how did you know to stop? And if I go through, there's going to be certainly a crash, and I'm going to be held responsible for that, and I may lose my life in the crash anyway. And then he said, what is I going to do? Oh, Lordy, what is I going to do? And I emphasize this because Chris Rock was using that kind of accent of the English to bring home that point of desperation. In the comedies of the early days, you know, Harold Lloyd or Charlie Chaplin or Buster Keaton, people that you probably don't know, have never heard of. Maybe some of you have heard of Laurel and Hardy. But desperation is also, as a comedy shtick, is something that Chris Rock pulled from historically in order to bring him to the point of making a point. And the question is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? So the Lord Jesus Christ, he is told by Philip in another gospel, he said to him, Lord, send the multitudes away. Now, he wasn't doing this out of meanness. He was doing this simply because it was the Lord's habit to heal those people at the end of giving the spiritual messages and the teaching. And so, do what you're going to do, Lord, and then send them away because we are here in a deserted place. I want you to think about the time that you have spent in church. If you've spent in church, the full Holy Friday. So you go to sleep at night on Thursday, having prayed, and you get a little bit maybe to eat or to drink, and then you wake up in the morning and you don't eat or drink. And you go into the church and you pray from 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock. No food, no water. If you've never done it, you should do it. And if you're old, you really should be doing it. Because when death comes a knocking, he's not going to be knocking for your grandchildren. He's going to be knocking for you. But when you have this kind of hunger and thirst, then you're going to not get in a car and go to the next best place or go to the church hall and get something to assuage your hunger and thirst, but you're going to have to travel. So the disciples are thinking this. They weren't being mean. They were being so considerate of the multitudes. Do what you're going to do, Lord. They have come here for healings. And the Lord did that. He did that almost without discrimination. Whatever you asked, he would do. But then the Lord turned something on Philip. He said, you give him something to eat, Philip. Now, think about what I told you about Chris Rock. Oh, Lord, what is I going to do? He was completely flummoxed. He did not have a response or a reply. Now, when the Lord asks a question of someone, he's not asking because he doesn't know the answer, because he does not know what is on the person's mind. Think about Abraham. Abraham, Abraham, take this knife and offer your son as a sacrifice in the place which I will show you. And Abraham did exactly that. It was to show Abraham what he was made of. It was to show Philip what kind of a relationship he had with the Lord himself. Well, his brother, his one of the other disciples, Andrew, he said, Lord, we have five barley loaves and two fish. Now, why would he say such a thing? Well, in 2 Kings, there is the story of how Elisha. Now, remember, we have this icon for a purpose. That's Elijah going up to heaven in the fiery chariot. And Elisha has asked, what did he ask? For a double portion of the spirit of his master and teacher, Elijah. Huh? And if you read in the Bible carefully, you will find that Elisha did exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah. So the response of Elijah through the agency of our Lord God and Savior was achieved. But now, Elisha had been brought 10 barley loaves. Now, what do you think a loaf is? You might be thinking of, you know, sometimes we get I go to the store and get a loaf of pumpernickel, or I go to the store and get, you know, some baguettes, or I get, no. Think about a piece of pita bread. They call that a loaf. I remember talking to Abunabashoy Gobriel of blessed memory, and he said, during the fast I cut down a lot, I only eat 2 loaves of pita bread. And I thought he meant 2 packages. And I was thinking, if that's cutting down, no wonder you're the size you are. This was in my mind. I was in just my first or second year of being a member of the church. But, you know, when I bought the pita bread, it looked like it came all together. Like if you bought a large loaf of sliced bread, and all those slices are all in one loaf. And I thought, well, this constitutes a loaf, whatever is in this package. No. When they say barley loaves, think of something small. Think of something small. But Elisha, he fed 100 men with 10 loaves. And besides, after they were filled, there were fragments that were left over. Does this bring anything to mind about today? Think about that. Now, Andrew was probably thinking, you know, my master, I've seen him do miraculous things, things greater than Elisha. So maybe with this, he can feed this multitude. We say 5,000 men. There are typically more women and children than men in any congregation. This congregation is a little bit different because I appeal more to men than I do to women. But the fact of the matter is that there were about a lot of people there. Now, the mistake that Andrew made, because he was on his way to perfection, his understanding of who Jesus Christ was a lot better than the understanding that Philip had. He made this one mistake. He said, Lord, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He should have stopped speaking right there. Because the mistake he made was, but what are these amongst so many? Like the Lord couldn't make something out of nothing if he decided to, right? You know, when we talk about making wine into water, we think the water just changed. But remember, water has only hydrogen and oxygen. It doesn't have any carbon. So you can't make water into wine. No science can turn water into wine, no matter what they do to it. You have to add something to it. And that was what the Lord did at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. So the Lord could do this. But the Lord took these things and he blessed and he broke. Now I've got a companion lesson that goes with this. I'm not going to give that away now, because sure as I'm standing here, there's going to be another 5 loaves and 2 fish sermon before very long. But the thing that I want to make clear to you, and this is why I brought up the comedic value of the reference to desperation. We look sometimes at a person who's in a dither. They have a conundrum. They don't know how to solve it. There was a game that we used to play that comes out of a real thing. It was called Hot Potato. Did anybody ever hear play Hot Potato? When you were poor, especially if you were Irish, if you were white, as I am, and your family comes from the British Isles, you know all about potatoes and their importance. And during the Irish famine, millions came to America. When you get the potato right out of the oven, it's hot, and you want to eat it. Now, it doesn't sound very appealing now, because now when we have a potato, oh, we have to have, you know, butter and salt and pepper and, you know, sour cream and chives and, you know. No. You eat and you're happy to be able to eat, but it's hot. So how do you hold it? So you move it back and forth and you're dithering. Do I take a bite? Does it burn my mouth? Does it burn my tongue? It's burning my hands. What am I going to do? I'm hungry. I've got the food, but I can't eat it. That's a dilemma. That's desperation. And when you're a little kid, you don't want to wait. I've seen a kid bite into something and then do a dance on the floor because it hurt so bad. He was like he was running in place. But it wouldn't stop. That's the comedic aspect of it. But you see, the central part that I want to drive home to you is when you are in a situation where you are in a position to say, what am I gonna do? That is when you invite God into your midst. That is the mistake that everybody makes. And you know, I know a priest who is going through a problem right at this very moment. And there is a component to the problem. What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? Now, of course, because it is a priest, the priest is smart enough to know what he's going to do. He's going to ask God. But you see, sometimes God doesn't answer immediately. Remember St. Anthony, when the devils beset him and they beat him, and his attendant took him up from his cell in the tombs to the church, and they were going to pray the prayers of the dead over him because he thought he was deceased. He revived and told his attendant, take me back. You can find this in St. Anthony's Vita, written by St. Athanasius the Apostolic, the 20th patriarch of our church. It's there to be read. St. Anthony told him, take me back. I don't want the people to think that the devils are going to vanquish me. But then when he was down there, back again, and he was alone, and he was in the privacy of his own cell, he looked up to heaven and he said, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Why did you allow this? And God said to him, I wanted to see you struggle. I wanted to see your labor. I want to see exactly how strong you are going to be in the face of temptation, in the face of defeat, or apparent defeat, because it wasn't over with. It was in the middle rounds. And I've seen boxing matches my whole life that were decided in the last minute of the last round. And out of nowhere, somebody drops their guard, or somebody throws the perfect punch, and the person who was losing now gets their hand raised as the victor. If we persist to the end, having asked God at the time of our greatest perplexity, when we are uncertain, if I go to the left, I'm going to get hurt. If I go to the right, I'm going to get hurt. If I stand where I am, I'm going to get hurt. If I move forward, I'm going to get hurt. If I move backwards, I'm going to get hurt. Oh, Lordy, what am I going to do? You're going to pray. It's the simple thing. You're going to pray. And in your prayers, you will find your answer. Because you see, the Lord receives you. He receives you as you. And he can only receive you as you after all of the ego mechanisms have been washed away. When you are standing there naked and bereft of any other strategy, when there is nothing left to you but him. And then he sees you as you really are. And he says, come here, my son. Come here, my daughter. Come to me. I'm your father. I gave you life. I will sustain that life that I gave you. Had it not been that the Lord was with us, let Israel now say, had it not been that the Lord was with us. Israel is a symbol of our heart and our soul. And how many times have you thought about situations that were really desperate? Some of you haven't come across this, but when you get really sick, when you get really, really, really sick, and the doctors are looking at you, and they're saying to you, we don't know. You're still not alone. You're still not alone. If you are wise enough to call upon the name of the Lord, but you have to wait for his time to be revealed and not to lose heart simply because it doesn't come within the time frame that you expected. The five loaves and two fish, I have been, since COVID started, I have been studying Jewish contributions to exegesis. And I have learned to look at things in a different way. And this is a lecture that I have never given before. And I have, as most priests have, you know, during the course of a common year, given a sermon or a lecture, as it may be, take it as you will, on the five loaves and the two fish, half a dozen times a year. Multiply that times the number of years I've been a priest, and you get somewhere around 200 times. I've never said this before. And I've never said this not because it wasn't always there right in front of me. I never said this because it never occurred to me to parse it in such little bits. But you see, sometimes we forget about the psychology of the individuals that are involved. For you men, I don't know if you women pay much attention to sports, especially team sports. But on a team, there is a certain synergy. You can have great players, but if that synergy doesn't exist in the right proportion, if things are not very well structured so that everybody knows what everybody is going to do and the responsibilities are carried out from the greatest to the least of those, there's going to be failure. There's going to be failure. So it depends upon the integrity of each one of you when you call upon the Lord as to what it is that you are going to receive. There are some people who delight, because there's a saying in our church that Well, if you're going to take communion, at least you have to be here to hear the gospel. So people said, what time do you think the gospel is going to be? Irrespective of the church starts at 8 o'clock. No, what time do you think the gospel is going to be? Probably around 9:15, 9:20. Okay. I'll miss the first hour. Why should I come? This speaks to your integrity. So when you pray to the Lord then, don't forget to factor that in. Don't forget to factor in the fact that you are really lax. No, because of the Lord's mercy and the Lord's love, he may not treat you the way you treat him. And thank God for that. Because I have treated him very badly at times in my life. You're not the only ones. Somebody said one time, when you are pointing your finger at somebody, remember three fingers are pointing back at you. It's a thing you learn when you're in grade school. But it's true. And I point those three fingers at myself. But I have learned patience. And I have learned that in watching the things that occur in other people's lives, when I myself thought there wasn't going to be any hope for the situation, yet there was. And there was more than hope. There was the thing prayed for coming to fruition. It happened, and I was there to witness it. It increases my love, my trust, and my faith in our Lord. Just as you love and trust and have faith in things that you use or people with whom you interact every day, if they are worthy of such things, as I've just mentioned. And when you see them, you smile. And you, before you sleep at night and when you rise up in the morning, their name passes your lips in your prayers. Remember the Lord always in yours. Glory be to God forever. Amen.